responsibility to Mr. Devon Pillay, Mr. Mukerani Maluleke, who will deliver the presentation to the select committee, and Mr. Joe Odhiambo, the CEO of Women South Africa, will also be in attendance. I see there's four of you there. I know Devon, Mr. Maluleke, and then Mr. Odhiambo, the CEO, and the other member present here. Okay, you're welcome. We also have a member from the Parliamentary Legal Advisory Team that is not with us yet. She will be joining us soon. During the presentation, it would become apparent what the relationship is with the legal team of Parliament. We also have our observers here from PMG, and the colleague there on the other end, they are staff, am I right? Is it Shamila? Mm-hmm. Shamila, who is the executive secretary.
And I'm a member of the public.
You are a member of the public.
I'm representing a private company.
Are you at liberty to tell us the name of your company, or you just, you prefer, it's up to you. We have no problems. All our select committee meetings are open to the public. So
the name of the company is Kai.
Kai?
Mm-hmm.
Kai Systems. K-E-I.
Yeah.
Like Kai the River Inn.
Mm-hmm.
The River Inn Extension. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
We have our members of staff here with us, our secretary, our comment advisors, and our researchers to go through the presentation. Colleagues, we are aware that in terms of the rules, we have to be five provinces to make a decision. We are not making a decision today, and we want to thank Grace that she made the effort to make sure that we're here. We do know that Honorable Tebe is participating in a meeting with you. He will be joining us soon, which will give us five, but we are not making decisions anyhow. So we will have five provinces. Thank you very much to the members. We trust that your provincial week was as fulfilling as the provincial week that I participated in. We welcome you back. We note with appreciation that in the next quarter, we will be spending very little time in committees and in Parliament. We thank Martins and Grace for having shared with us the program. Rebecca, you should hear this one. Martins and Grace have shared with us the program for the rest of the year of this select committee. So we have it. We will not be surprised if there's any changes, but at least from our side, we do have a program that informs our operations. Colleagues, also in the presence of Stupak, have to say that the Department of Tourism asked that they make their presentation on the tourism incentive program to us tomorrow, and that has been confirmed. They will be with us tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We have apologies. Firstly, a written apology here from Honorable von Lennon. We know that she has a standing apology, but because she has to also attend important meetings of the Select Committee of Finance, but her party is adequately represented even when she is not with us. We also have an SMS from Honorable Mopena saying that they will send an apology later. Those are the two that we have. The other members that are not here, we do not have apologies from. I must mention that I tried to turn Honorable Kaula's arm to get him to come and sit with us today, and he he's from a smaller party, so he's got to attend a whole number of select committee meetings, and he's attending the one now, the workshop on social development that's happening. For many of us in the NCLP, we have just returned from the leaders' provincial week and other activities in our home bases and provinces yesterday. So this is, for us, a bit of a hectic day. We anticipate colleagues from TDI as we welcome you. We are grateful that you're able, sorry, from Department of Public Works. We are grateful that you have been able to join us today and do this presentation. We anticipate that the conversation will take us up until about 5:15. We have a follow-up next week, so this is the first part of the case where we will be looking at the agreements of the bill. I've looked at the document. It looks very informative. You can take us through the document. And also the two bills related to that too. But it's up to you how you want to spend the time today, mindful of the fact that we also have some time next week to engage further. But we would want to give an opportunity today for members of the select committee to engage with you on whatever it is that you're presenting to us today. So over to you. Thank you very much.
Goodbye to the chairperson and members of the select committee. I'll just continue to a presentation overview of the content of the bill, and can then address any questions attorney can be felt as a member community. Let me preface my presentation by speaking very broadly about AgriMark South Africa. AgriMark was established in 1959 by the Ministerial Delegation. And as it just since then to this very day as a ministerial delegation. And that is how it is usually the problem. And I'm speaking that, and that's part of the reason why we have to put the information so urgently. And I will address that in the next policy plan. But let me just quickly speak to Nandi. I just need to indicate that we have simply taken the current AgriMark for the answer. We have not amended anything significant with Nandi. So all we've done is given it legal papers and improved certain areas in terms of government in line with the TFA. So, firstly, the mandate of AgriMark is to support and promote the process of integrated socio-economic development and related to the construction industry by facilitating the introduction, application, and utilization of satisfactory innovation and technology. The idea here is, and I want to pause for a bit, is I want to clear up the distinction, I think at this point, up front, the role in AgriMark SA and South African Bureau of Standards. South African Bureau of Standards develops standards. And a standard is only developed once there is more than two or three of a similar product in the market. AgriMark deals with a completely new product or new system where there is no other similar product or system. And then develops standards, or develops unit standards that will check the product or system fit for a product, which means that if the product says it will do X, Y, and Z, it will check only for X, Y, and Z. And the product can only be used in terms of X, Y, and Z. It cannot be used for any other one. So hence the innovation and it facilitates, it does not develop new products. All it does is just put for products. The current objective of AgriMark is by to serve specified and user patients that provide assurance of fitness for purpose, very concept I've just gone through, and value for money of innovative non-standardized construction technology, as well as ongoing quality assurance. It's a point where it's a digital
correct, objective, and relevant information to all concerned in respect of technical, socio-economic, and regulatory aspects of this transport system. And very importantly, saying a support policy order to engage in to minimize risks associated with innovation and construction. So that it supports the application of the National Building Regulation. It maintains links with international key organizations. It supports the introduction of South African products, innovative products to be exported into other countries, primarily it has been allowed to be within Africa itself. It also facilitates, likewise, facilitates the extension of innovative products from other countries to South Africa. And it is done within the government's national priorities in terms of socio-economic development. We use a lot of technology for enhancing social practices in South Africa. A lot of the technology that's been imported so far has been used for the construction of schools and other social infrastructure. And last, but this is what I was speaking about earlier. The private agreement of Africa does not have legal status. And since it's a question, it has been raised at the CSIR. And the CSIR has functioned as an administrative arm. It also provides administrative support and technical support to AgriMark for that. So it was just AgriMark for this function, and everything else was located within the CSIR both environment. Now, this created a problem in that the AgriMark of Africa was funded by the Department of Agriculture. But from an administrative perspective, it did to report to the Department of Science and Technology. In fact, it's reporting to two ministers. One of its ministers, that is the Minister of Public Works, and of an administrative perspective, the Minister of Science and Technology. And this dual report is a number of problems for the Department for AgriMark. Also linked to that, since the introduction of the Public Finance Management Act, in this arrangement, the Department of Public Works could not transfer money directly to AgriMark for that. Money used to be transferred to CSIR. And then CSIR, within the effect of the board decision, used to administer the funds that is provided at AgriMark. You understand that this is actually a challenge in terms of the PFMA. It is not permitted, it's too late. And therefore, the department has been consistently transferred to the AgriMark and been consistently classified as clearly expenditure by the AG. So that is fundamentally the two areas that this goes to. Now, the process started a little while ago in trying to determine what form AgriMark should take. Now, we initially started developing a version of it that starts to look at what is situation analysis. They look at strategic planning for AgriMark for Africa, identifying and assessing the various service delivery models. They look at the implementation and then recommended the more appropriate service delivery model. In developing the business case, there was extensive consultation with a host of government departments, public entities, as well as some of the AgriMark clients today. And the idea was that of AgriMark in terms of the service delivery. The situation analysis was undertaken to look at whether AgriMark of Africa should remain on its own as an entity or the form it should take, as well as synergy between AgriMark South Africa and various other public entities that exist. And these included SCABS, the NCRS, the SBRC, etc. We also looked to see whether there was a duplication in mandates of AgriMark and any other public entities. And so finally, the question that we asked ourselves was whether AgriMark should reside within another entity or whether it should function on its own in its own space as a public entity on its own. The next slide basically speaks to the various organizations that we've and departments that we've consulted. All of these have some sort of a various extensive interaction with every month of Africa. Now with the Department of Trade and Industry, we tested the CAS, and I mentioned earlier
the relationship between Agma South Africa and SAB and the skin growers, and the National Regulator for Composite Standards, which is also a offshoot that can become SAB. At one point SAB is in consumption, so such as the setting standards and also becoming a certain regulation once the conflict of interest and they decide to split the function and increase the agenda. And therefore you have to have the basic NRC and society. We've consulted both organizations. We've also consulted the Department of Human Settlements as well as the National Home Building Regulation Council, which basically protects home buyers against selling workmanship. But at least there may be some of the threats specified by Agma South Africa is often used in the construction of homes. So we wanted to link the community to assure that whatever Agma certified is being accepted, correctly accepted. And we also then tested whether there was a need for Agma to continue to accept because NADRC also does a form of training. And then we realized that at the international level that the Agma certification is far more scientific compared to NADRC, which is more amicable. And it's just a matter of giving it out into various realms. We've also consulted with SAUDA and the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, and the main reason for this is relatively informal construction in the municipality becomes a key role play. Now when you look at the National Building Regulation, it states that furniture used during construction must either be tax approved or have an agreement of a certificate. Now we wanted to ensure in this consultation that as you move towards establishing Agma as an entity, you will also at the same time ensure that Agma is able to monitor compliance to regulation. That SAUDA role in this regard and the municipality role in this regard will be able to support what Agma is doing. So hence the consultation with the okay, the Department of Health and Technology creates consultants in terms of the department itself, the consultants, the consultants with the technical innovative agency, and the reason for that is the strong link and synergy between what Agma is doing and what TRC is. I've mentioned earlier that Agma only deals with certification. It cannot and itself develop innovative products. And the reason for this is you can develop a product and certify at the same time. Basically being play a risk. So hence we need this distinction. So what we've done is in consultation with GRC, Agma at some point develop a value chain. If there's a new thought, if you're thinking of a new threat, it will link up to GRC, link up to CSIR, and the innovator, and once the innovator takes it, the product will approve it, Agma will then do the certification of that product. Consultation with the Council of Work Environment, a number of, when design stage, a number of work environment professionals, particularly engineers, would use products that are specified by Agma for a particular problem. So we need to ensure this continued compliance, we need to ensure that the engaged professionals are on board with regards to the various certifications that are taking place by Agma. The CIDB likewise deals with the standards of the industry and the consultant on that regard. Now, the particular reason for the consultation with SARS is that we at some point in British to ensure that the construction industry is sufficiently regulated on behalf of the community, but we have to put some gaps for it. Now, what we were consulting with is to ensure with SARS that the neighbor products that are imported into South Africa, it must either have a SAP certificate or Agma certification. And we were concerned along the line of Agma certification because of a product that has been certified by a similar institution internationally, it gets endorsed by Agma South Africa, that product can be handled in South Africa. What we want to ensure is that on point of entry, that the product meets the South African market. And that's the role between Agma South Africa and SAP. We've consulted that and we've agreed that this would start to be an institution, particularly the institution of the DCOC that we now, I think it's important that after the consultation,
there was general concern amongst all stakeholders in Hong Kong, all of them, that there's a need for AI Agile Master Plan to retain its mandate and to continue to exist as a separate entity from other existing entities. So what they did at one point absorb it into one of the other entities, but the overall concern was that at some point that function, because an entity may not give priority to the production industry, and the very function of Agile Master Plan is that the function will be swallowed or maybe used enough. So there was a need for it to be established. There was also an expression from several of the institutions such as SAG and NHGRC that Agile Master Plan Africa should in future play a more regulatory role in terms of innovative construction materials as well as construction materials that do not have a stamp certification. So this has been a plan for future action. The only concern that was identified by DDI was that we must ensure when Agile Master Plan engineering effective regulation function, developing regulation, it must not infringe on any of the WTO agreements. And that is the now, the impact of the policy is one and very, very important thing. If you address the irregular expenditure concern raised by the Auditor General, because once Agrimark of Africa becomes a public entity, the transfer to Agrimark of Africa from the Department of Public Works will be limited. Secondly, is to the Agrimark certification itself. Agrimark will be able to more effectively promote its certification, it should be able to take control of the operational environment, it will be able to respond to the needs of the market. So one of the key drivers here is using a lowering the cost of construction in both public and innovation. Now, some of the products that Agrimark has certified already lowered construction costs by roughly around 30%, getting 30% in certain areas. So this we're hoping to expand and implement. And finally, through its international engagement, it's crucial that Agrimark South Africa continues to play the role that we play in terms of assessment standards. It's important that South African products and latest products remain internationally acceptable. This will, in our view, continue to encourage exports of these products primarily into Africa and into other developing countries. Now, in examining the various service delivery options, we looked at the various options that are available. One is the government component. A government component, as you are aware of, is essentially a target that reports directly to the Minister of Public Works or to the Minister of Public Works. In fact, it doesn't have it. It's presented by a CEO, and he will report directly to the relevant minister, especially to the Minister. The second option is the privatization of services, and they realize that you cannot have a private service, which is an important government function in terms of insurance, housing safety, insurance, insurance, and other things, etc., in terms of what public government. If it's not a trading account, it cannot become a public kind of partnership, and staff regulation are considered that we saw that in this environment, it is quite risky for the industry to regulate it. The preferred option was to establish a public entity that could be managed by a board with appointed from CEO and the own administration, but the board is also the minister, and you have the overseas minister. The important thing to do so is once everything must be established, it's full of board of regulation, and you have a lot more efficient, and by getting it interpreted, you then able to act. And actually, the other entities is able to contact and sort of give effect to function. So the product is not a different indication of how much it's coming so far in terms of the animal health. Because we can do the high share for our community in terms of November 2000.
And we're going to go back seven and thirteen. If I get this then for public comment, we will January 7 and 13. We then consolidated the comments and made necessary to get one of the members. And you guys will have drafted and then submitted to the chief legal advisor online. The real concerns with the chief legal advisor, primarily from a drafting perspective, and that's the agenda. In September 2014, it was embossed by SOSAC, and we were submitted to the ICANN Cabinet Committee. It was then reduced to Parliament in February 2015, and it was then adopted by the National Assembly on 23rd of June. Now, we don't, as I stated earlier, it is simply taking the current agenda and giving it to the and cutting up in terms of carbon intervention and so the goal addressing the following areas deal with the objective of agreement, its housing function. It goes into detail dealing with certification and renewal of certificate issued by AGRIMA. I mean, the same problem deals with the withdrawal of a certification, etc. It speaks to AGRIMA the need for AGRIMA to keep a register and the subject register to be made publicly available. It then speaks to a large extent to the public issues of AGRIMA. It speaks to the requirements of the board, from the office of the board, application of the disqualification from the office. I think very important to what you've done, and we spent a lot of time on, is dealing with conflict of interest of board members and the relationship with AGRIMA, for example. We go to speaking of the remuneration of board members. So in terms of the objective of AGRIMA, it has not changed. As I mentioned earlier, the objective of AGRIMA is the same as the Yankee Commission earlier, which is to provide assurance to specifiers and users of the purpose of proper transfer and related products. We suffer a dramatic reduction in use of specifiers and not program construction related products and product quality related. In the areas of non-standard construction in the current system with regards to the remuneration. The power and duty of AGRIMAC is empowered to assess and certify and dissatisfy issue certificates of purpose of purpose for the product. It can issue and then sustain limited and withdraw or renew AGRIMAC certification. Exercise any other power, as may be described, when this is achieved the objects of AGRIMA. Now, with withdrawing this court in order that if a need arises, AGRIMA can regulate something here and provide certain guarantees if it is the main only to get applied. The duty of AGRIMA is to provide assurance to specifiers and users. It's to develop rules, processes, procedures, criteria, and guidelines. Necessary for dealing the object of AGRIMA, it supports and promotes the introduction and use of certified non-standard construction related products. And importantly, speaking about encouraging research and the development of non-standard construction related products. in terms of AGRIMA may find property, but this we said it cannot do so with the specific written by a concern of commercial public work. It may collect fees and charge. Charge fees as well, servicing letters, but we've also put in a clause there that allows it to defer such costs or such fees. It needs be for whatever reason that is. And also we thought about empowerment issues, etc., that they come into play. Very important in the end is able to institute and defend legal action. In general, currently we're not able to do the institutional services that are issued in the government. It may, well, there's an issue of the last one that I was now, in terms of the certification process, we don't know the rules of legal area with the clause that can deal with the rules that is usually made in terms of the importantly, we will allow the certificate to be valid only for the year. This is in line with this government. So, any other country, any other product that's certified by an AGRIMA institution in another country is also certified. We check it on the diary so that we don't have any discrepancies between us and international certification programs.
bear in mind our thinking here is that as we get more of a product, innovative product, developing South Africa, the intent is to export into that income. So we're thinking of becoming possibly a new industry in South Africa. What we from the line is anyone claiming to have an animal certified product, then the product is up, and then the product is back. All applications vetted, certificate issued, certificate amended, certificate reinstated, withdrawn, and amended. And it states in the Act and made it law that AgriMark marketing is available on its website. So it's available to everyone in the public, the notification of any product that you need to use, or anything like that. We can see that the administration uses the word AgriMark, because the board may constitute a minimum of 7 members, but not more than 11 members. And the members of the minister and the chief executive of the minister of his office is part of the law. The process of selection of a new board, the act allows for the minister to appoint 3 months before the expiry of the board, a election committee that would basically be the administrative function of recommending a new board of the minister. This includes the effort that needs to go out, the interviewing of prospective, shortlisting of prospective board members, interviewing prospective board members, making recommendations. Now, the act in down the future will give the time to you for the Minister of IT to identify the selection committee on 3 months before the board term expires. The selection committee must put up an advert and the presentation of the advert at the beginning of the that typically needs to recommend to the minister and the minister of the to approach the board. Now, if you look at the state of the country, I think this is what we were very much concerned with when we were finished together. We want to ensure that absolutely no parties of interest will be brought back to the animal contract. You must understand that this is a very small field in terms of technology. Everyone has a known to everyone. So what we've done is we've made it illegal for it to be a direct contractual arrangement, an agreement between one owner and AgriMark. We've also done it because they said that 2 years after they've won the agreement, we made it law that they limit our blacks to recuse themselves if they made any form of self-interest. The impact of this is that AgriMark will be able to act independently. I'm going to conclude agreement on its own, seeing that we've never been able to do before. We're going to develop a regulation for areas that are including such regulation required. DGW will announce oversight role to the board and comply with the PFMA and Treasury regulation. And what we need, AgriMark will now be accountable to the Minister of Public Works only. And it's just left off over to the control.
I just wanted to get an indication how ready we are. This is Honorable Papa, another theoretical. Okay. Let's proceed then, please.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Father, just to make sure that the colleagues there, your name is Honorable Father, and then Honorable Ted.
Thank you, Jay. Chair, I listened to the presentation. There's just one or two things that I don't understand. This was that in the presentation, it was said that AgriMark South Africa is not a legal entity. It was not a legal entity, so that's why they could not get the transfer of money and so on. I'd like to understand that, because why, if you get all these documentation and if there is a bill, surely it should be a legal entity. Agreement is after South Africa. So if that can be explained to me. And then the second part which I don't understand is, why was, like the NHBRC, they are a regulating body on their own already. I know that, and I mean, they are also the SWAT quality specific standards and so forth. And they get new standards, and they themselves then decide on these standards. Now this is to me a double function which I don't really understand. The SAE is South African Bureau of Standards. This, and as we see, there are two entities together, SAE is, and who's the other one, and NRC. And the question that I'm asking is, why they don't absorb this? Because to me, we are having entities and entities and entities and entities. Why can it not be absorbed by one of these entities? Because eventually, if you look at the person that's going to come and have a product, you will not know anymore. Where do you have to go? Does he now go to Agrement? Does he now go to NRC? Does he go to SABS? It is really confusing. We are having so many parasites at this moment that you don't really know where to go to. And to me, at the end of the day, it's a lot of money going into the print of these entities instead of having enough money in one entity that can, as a new entity, manage this whole system. So I would like to get clarity on that specifically. Thanks.
Thank you. There's two questions there. Let's get the comments or questions as well from Mundo Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. On your slide 13, you very emphasize that it cannot fit into another entity. And you've made a classical example of the entities that you consulted in on your endeavor to ensure that you satisfy yourself and this cannot fit into the other entity. To this end, do you think what Honorable Fabio is raising, it can happen? Secondly, you were also emphatic on the issue of the possibility that when this bill has gone through, the entity would be able to also stand up on its own to challenge the litigation process. Are there any litigation processes that you have encountered in the past or recently, and how have you been able to deal with them? The other issue is you raise an important issue that we've been incurring fruitless expenditure on the part because we've been doing something that is not in conflict with what the EEG required. And if that goes through, would you want to tell us that you are satisfying us that we would be able to avoid in future opinions from the EEG that are establishing that the same conditions still exist?
Thank you very much. Allow me to just add a few questions to that as well, because it's easy to deal with them. I get two or four. My first question would be on the slide number 9, where you talk about protecting home buyers. We understand that. But we also have a problem with the quality related to the construction of RDP houses. Now, you are public works, so you are involved in that, although it's human settlements. But for us, just coming from our week in the provincial oversight as well, can you tell us whether there is any plan of ASA to do with that as well? My second question would be more, okay, let me put it as a question. On that same page, you are referring as well to your negotiations with SAUDA. Now, SAUDA is also represented in the NCOP that we are here for. And one of the complaints, justifiably so, that we get from Sangha is that they are not privy to this type of engagement. So we just want to make sure that indeed the Department of Public Works has had this type of dialogue with Sangha. Otherwise, we will have to find a way as the NCOP because they pass for our structure that we engage them. So I just wanted to know how do we proceed with that arrangement of Sangha. My next question is on page 19, the keeping of a register. Now, you've consulted with the state law advisors already, and still you say such information on the second bullet on keeping a register, such information must be available to the public on the ASAL website. Now, once you begin to be a specific event, you're painting yourself in a corner. And either to tell us why are you saying the website, shouldn't you just say it should be made available to the public in a means accessible to the public? Is there a reason why you are referring to the website? Is one part of the question. The other part of the question, what do you do with people that may not have access to the website? Because we know many of the emerging contractors in the construction industry have all the other tools, but they may not have access to a website. Then my ultimate question is on page 20, where you are talking about the members of the board and the conflict of interest. Now, we know that many board members are having difficulty when you put into an act or a bill a restriction that they may not directly or indirectly enter into a contractual relationship with Agreement South Africa for the supply of any goods or services during and for a period of 2 years following the lapse of termination. Because what people are saying is they say we come from the industry to contribute towards increasing the capacity of state within the industry. And then you penalize us. When we are through, we can't go back to the jobs that we did before we became a member of the board. Because you say, for 2 years, now, are you going to pay us for those 2 years that you say we cannot work in that particular industry? Because that is the only experience for generating income that we have. It could be that the person becomes a member of the board, APSA has a company somewhere, and then once they retire, they would want to go back to a board position in that company. And in terms of this, yeah, have you dealt with that with the state law advisors, whether you are not then inhibiting the life opportunities and the opportunities of employment for members of the board? Thank you very much for that for now. It's over to you. And you can decide how you deal with them. You don't have to follow this.
Thank you, Shankar. Public entity is defined in terms of public management. So, in terms of the PFMA, Agrimark does not meet any of the requirements for being an action. A ministerial delegation is the cabinet delegation of the Minister of Transport. Agrimark is functioning as a board of 7 members. It does not have other space, it does not have furniture, it doesn't have any access on its own. Everything must be released from CSIR. So that became a significant problem post PFMA. Initially it was not a very big issue, but more recently it became a very serious concern for the age because the truck store got like around 90 million at least. You also get in terms of the public service administration and government. She also formed a government entity group. I Agrimah has not gone within that definition. Again, within the various definitions, and KSA, Agrimah for that regard. There is no definition for a legitimate part. So hence we need to make that more. So I hope that responds to you. And hence the need for this to become a Muslim to get now, your issue about equipment in general, that was something that we had from the beginning. It was one of the initial things that we, at that point in time, we did not want to necessarily create a new entity. We wanted to identify the equipment. Or what can we do? Because the idea was we didn't want to, as you said, we want to create a new entity. Now, you will know that when you have an entity, you establish it, the land is very clear. Now, in terms of this land, sometimes you have an entity that may perform another function that's not directly related to the land. Now, from an administrative perspective, that's often called an unfunded function. And when you, over a period of time, it becomes a feature. The frustration becomes very difficult in terms of the three functions. And then you need to stop the performance function with the body. Now, so that was one of the concerns that was made in our consultation. In particular, CEP, CSIR, and NRT, in animal care. Each of them have a very defined plan. Because you're looking at whether you can come to flood everyone from one of the hospital. One of them is that it is not called function. You may be able to take on that function, but over a period of time, you may find that you may not be able to sustain the function. A good example is when we are doing the CFIR, and it's very effective and efficient and working on it. So plus it's working, highly skilled stuff, but over a period of time, the construction industry just demands that service. With the minimum constituent action. And it has never been able to be capacity factor. So our concern was if we locate it within the other entity based on one color, there's a possibility of losing its function completely, and once it drops in garbage, it's very much impossible to bring it. Also bear in mind, our thinking is over a period of time, a very personal day, the issue of poor construction work. Some of them is also linked to for the two of the institution. We want to use as an institution that can begin to regularize and regulate the use of construction material in particular construction Now, if you are going to be you may want to be an important issue because that will be a structure and so then, that is impossible to regulate the manufacture of it because people can use the rich space. Yeah. But what you want to do is regulate the rich space that you're using ABCD, which is up to the So that's the element that you want to move Agrima into. If there is no self-certification for this product, then you must have an Agrima. The product must have the Agrima. Now, we have looked at SDRC. What does SDRC does is, let's assume someone comes up with a product and will tell you, I've come up with this good tile. It's made of plastic and it's a good tile. SDRC will take the product and just leave it where it's from and see what happens over a period of time. Conversely, what anyone does, it creates a laboratory situation. And under laboratory, they will be able to create any environment. They will be able to test that product under any extreme work condition. They will be able to test it for quarter where the process is in the For example, after turbine degree something or something in the form. And it is able to do it with the technical expertise that it could go to the industry as well as to the job, the needs of the client. So, to directly answer your question, we looked at all of the scenarios, the testers in each of the entities that we thought Agrima was pushing, and we all concurred with that it's a must for Agrima to maintain its function, maintain its mandate.
impact that each one of you to have in the issue. Now, if you know, Shab, for example, the last thing, that's why he entered Kirk into the NRDS. You got what you have now is set the standard anchors regulations, NFC means as you monitor the regulations, become the contributor. So Shab then. Now, if you bring in Agima and you put it in NRDS, it turns into a single function, and that's the limit. Now, with Agima regulate, I think for all of them, there's a very strong synergy between SHAB, NRCS, and NFGMC. They, if they are not sitting on each other's board, then they are part of this committee that I established to ensure quality. And there's various committees that I established. So, rest assured, why they're not necessarily putting each other, there's a very strong synergy among the leaders.
The next question,
I'm assuming I just got up on the question as well.
Yeah, no, no.
In terms of litigation, there have not been any litigation so far with Agima. But what we envisage that as we move forward, as Agima begins to entrench itself in the marketplace, as the service providers to assist customers of profits, which is more important than the now, what is important is if someone says, if a product is certified to do A, B, C, D, and then you find that that manufacturer is now using the product something else, Agima needs to act. Currently, it is tied down by CSIR processes to act. It cannot act on its own. What they're arguing is once it's established as a public entity on its own, you can say that they'll be able to act on the security against that. Because what I'm saying, once that product is used for something else, the increase health and safety risk, increase in health. So there's no indication that the market is really that people need to be. And we've got the last one of the 80-20. I just want to say it's not focused on wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure. It's a technical definition because you're doing a transfer and you're not compliant with it. You haven't wasted the money, it's not to drop one because of the wasted. The benefit of transfer, the understood transfer and function. It's just that you need to transfer money from a department to its own company. And that company can be done later. So it's called illegal life. So, and yes, to, this would certainly address that issue. Because you can come in any one department of public work. So any transfer to every month thereafter would be illegal.
Any other questions?
You showed the RDT out of it. And I'm a little bit tricky. Firstly, there are. My experience with the local council, the problem that I experienced in Abidjan, we gave some of the research to that. And some of the announcements I'm trying to do with CIT, we were not formally institutions in the domain of the town. Why? What we found is, two things. One is, I use an example of bricks. If you don't use a correct product, it's a problem. That's okay. Two is compliance to the national regulation. Now, when you deal with the general public in the building, you will need to publish a plan to use the product. And at every point of your construction is how the municipality comes and the essential foundation, they set your slab work, they set your brick work, they set your roof, but everything else is needed. So that is the mechanical function of the municipality. But many of our classes develop in like a local form. Often what you find is the municipality then appoints engineers to oversee that work and to hang off on the work. So you may have 200 houses that are being built. And you find the work of so no one really could set the 200 trenches whether they've been back in the way. Because when anybody your foundation gets to develop completely, if you don't give it in, it's a particular gap. And if you're building in Silver Lake and Pretoria, you don't even give a foundation, it's called a building gap. So these regulations are important.
And now, what you would find is that some engineers don't have sensitive bones and identify that the correct foundation should be the correct product of this. Because remember I said earlier, the machine building regulation says that the product must either be sensitive or agnostic. And that's the function of the municipal so that's what I want to do. And secondly, we find that and this is part of the you see, with the CIDD Act, contractors are tested for one competency, but also the ability to perform under the law. It goes through a certain level. So there's a certain risk taken away in the government point here. The NHVRC certification only provides that the building is competent to work. It doesn't mean it's important. It doesn't check whether the contractor has sufficient resources to fund the building. So sometimes the government departments delay or whatever the reason is, and the contractor is running financial cash flow problems, you may find that the quality of the product put into the building are compromised. So first one is compromised. So that's basically our understanding of what's happening in the arbitration. I believe that because it's engaged. It engages with that, not the Department of the CIDD, it engages in any country, etc. And we should add in that. You'll find out that in the new CIDD regulations that were registered at the beginning of this year, we put in a clause in CIDD that NHVRC can use the CIDD. So a contract and regulation of home is actually government now, a greater counterpoint. So one is a contract is confident to know. But all the government and the others related to cost, related to cash flow, etc., are resolved through the so, in part, that's something. Someone is accountable. The issue of Tarka's chairperson, whether they were consulted, I remember this very, very clear. Tarka was one of the last people who was consulted for the discussion. So you are the last people you consulted with, and just a moment. But I'm happy with the process of creating an office to come back here. This is not the consultation that I have, as well as the opportunity to have in the public. Keeping up registered chairperson, but the reason we statistically mentioned in the website was to say, why all agreement certificates on agreement website. The office of the most accessible medium of all the consumers, in particular the emerging contracts. You may be aware that the construction industry development board stages have offices in all provinces. One of its functions is contract development. And as part of contract development, they have computers at this center for emerging contracts for drawing out of single documents that they so this is available content for benefit. We also know that it has become technology because of the form we gave. It has become one of the best source of information in America. So we thought that bringing on the website can certainly come to overwhelming. And we partnered with the computer to run on the website. And on the issue of the contract, yes, we set the chief of your as well as I need to they both have been closed, they've been engaged with them, they've been comfortable with it. The reason for the chairperson is that they don't have the money, quality, and function.
because it can be unused. But I need to say it upfront. We are speaking about largely about consultants and there will be institutions in the center where individuals will be drawn on some of the agreements. And those institutions won't be compromised because we're talking about the individuals. But we're looking at individuals themselves compromising the organization.
Let them call the CEO and then the CEO or something.
Yeah, I'm going to say, if you look at the trial, the way it's happening, it doesn't necessarily restrict you from working in the construction industry, but it restricts you from contacting with the ACRIMA, the entity. So you can continue with your work, but not necessarily working with ACRIMA or having a contractual relationship with ACRIMA entity.
Once you have become a good man. Apollo. Thank you, Chair. I think the answer which I can give is that, by the way, I'm Joe, the CEO of Africa. We have board members who are professionals in their individual capacity, and at every board meeting, they are asked to sign a no contract. Register, which is standard practice. Now, further to that, if there is any board member who has a conflict of interest, then he can recuse himself from the meeting. The reason for the conflict of interest is that, as my colleague Wackham has just mentioned, is that some board members are professionals in their individual capacity, maybe engineers, or they may be representing certain companies in their individual capacity. And should that company have an interest in a product that is being discussed, then obviously he cannot participate because there will be clear conflict of interest. I don't know if I've addressed that question sufficiently. But I just wanted to reiterate the first question by Andrew Harper, which Devin did answer quite comprehensively. But I just wanted to add a bit more, if you may allow me, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I just wanted to state how the regulation of the construction industry operates. As you're aware, the Constitution is overarching law in the country. And the Building Standards Act, that's 107 of 1977, gives the Bureau of Standards the ability to develop standards, which includes building standards. Now, the regulation of building standards, National Building Regulation, is mandated from the Building Standards Act, so it's one law that is below that. And in this case, we have national National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications, NRCS. The NRCS regulates compulsory specs. So you have the building standard, which, as Devin Kwashanti points out, that specifies the strength of bricks that you may use for construction of a building. He did mention the issue of an MPA. And there are several other standards, obviously, for cement, timber, etc. Now, those are standards of things we know. Alma, on the other hand, this is a product for which there's no national standard. This is something new. It's not been used before. It could be paper. You want to use it as a wall or something. It could be, I'll give you a typical example. Our roads in this country in the past were having serious problems. We were designing roads to last 20 years, but after 3 years, you'd find them having rotten. Why? Because they were carrying far more load over roads, heavier trucks, and far much heavier traffic than its design life. So instead of lasting 20 years, the roads are failing after 2 years. And it was a concern for the whole country. A typical road, I'll give you a typical example, the road leading out of Durban Harbour, the stretch where the heavy trucks pick up the containers, and leave the harbour, that road was basically had to be taken by the Queen Municipality on a regular basis because it kept failing. Now, there was a new product that was developed it came from international best practice. When it came to us, Sanon looked at the standards. It was not in the standards, it was not in the South African national standards. It's a new product. So we, as Agama, developed a criteria. We looked at the test method applicable to that methodology. And then, like I pointed out, we developed a test method suitable to test the product. So that product can be able to build roads with a much stronger than what the national standards say and answer the problem of premature failure of roads. The product was tested, has been used, it was used in 2010. That road has now lasted 5 years. It's carrying much heavier loads and there's no deformation of pedals. The last test was done recently. We carry regular monitoring because we gave them an interim certification, interim meaning that we tested in the lab classes, and much now tested in the field, and they're still testing it, and they're passed with overwhelming flying carbon. And it's been used on several other roads in the country. That's just one product. And we have several other products. If you go on our website, you have a directory of certificates. A certificate is a technical document that describes the product that has been tested and certificated. So this is the distinction between us and the Bureau of Standards and NRCS. The National Home Builders Registration Council set up in terms of the, in 1998, in terms of the Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act 95 of 1998, as amended thereafter. Now, their interest is to protect the interests of housing consumers and to regulate the whole building industry, home, housing. So the road product is not born in the home, they're put out to their mandate. So I've explained how the home builders industry, their mandate relates to the home. The NRCS regulates products for which they know, they're standard. Us, we deal with products which we do not know, which are new. So that's the distinction. It's different. As Devin mentioned, the NRCS, the FABS, and NHBRC, we work together. We have distinct but interrelated mandates. All those three bodies have members on our board. And we also sit on a number of advisory councils and boards. So there's a lot of synergy and a lot of sharing of knowledge. And we understand mandates, we work together, but we have distinct and different mandates. I just want to say that it will not be additional funding, it is just the creation of the legal entity. So the issue of increasing funding or increasing the financial aspect is not included in this particular bill. I hope I've answered the question, and I welcome any further questions or clarification.
Thank you very much. I anticipated that we may need to just tie up on some of the questions we asked. So you're welcome, Honorable Fala. Honorable Ms. Heller, do you want to follow up? You're okay. Okay, then, Honorable Lott, you have been here. But you are welcome if you want to raise a question this round.
Thank you. Gee, I understand on a specific new product. Let's say the paper leak, which the lender just told us about. But now as soon as they create the standard for this new big year paper, does it now go to the SABS? Now it becomes a new standard and the SABS then regulated, South Africa Bureau of Standards then regulated? Or does it stay under their jurisdiction? Because you see, this is the question that I have. Why can't the SABS go and do exactly the same thing on creating the standards for this? Because they are already regulating standards, for instance, for bricks. Now it's a new plastic brick or a new paper brick. So obviously, they do have the expertise, I believe, because I know it used to be previously. If you have any new product, you have to go to the SABS Bureau of Standards, and this was their function. So I don't know why he said that they cannot do it, because it used to be, I'm talking now 1989, 1990, this was the SAB Bureau of Standards. If you have a new product, you have to register it, and you have to take it to them, and they actually go and look at it. So I understand if they say that it's on new product. My question still remains. If this new entity, now, the agreement goes and they say this is an effective brick. Don't now go to the SABS to now look at the new standard. And then as I say, why can't the SABS do this function? To me, it's still, I understand, I hear a lot of what the presenters are saying to us, but it still remains to me that you're creating a double platform.
thank you. Is the question clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, Chair, it's very clear that Honorable Father, the senior teacher, is referring to 1985.
Yes, I
said no. No, okay. I can hear clearly that explicitly they are trying to find what they are going to be doing separate from the other entities. But do they anticipate, I think there's a fear from Honorable Father, do they anticipate any encroaching on each other's jurisdiction or the creation of jurisdiction in the process? Because the separation between NRCS and the sub is very clearly defined in all that. But in future, are we going to have people who are going to be saying, but you can't come into this area because it's our area, so that we don't just duplicate as we move forward? Thank you.
I will not. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I worked through all of that. There was a document analysis of public comments on agreements of Africa in the draft book. Now, most of those comments seems to be addressed, but some of the comments seems to be just shifted or not really addressed. One of them that I'm a bit concerned about is the, I'll get to now, is the funding. Sorry, I've moved away from this. I'll find it now, it's 18 pages, but it's about the funding and the determination of costs. And again you say that the board will determine the cost. Now that is on the expenses that have been incurred. I'll try and find the note quickly here. But that's very vague, and I'm worried about the extra cost this will put on, here we go. One of the comments is unclear whether there are guidelines for the fees charged by ARTA to conduct the assessment. Now your answer to that is fees charged by ARTA for the assessment ought to be based on the cost recovery basis based on the determination of the board. ARTA will be empowered to waive the fees and then you go on. Now, I mean, again, so if I do something, I can do something in a cheaper way, and I can do something in an expensive way. I can fly everybody business class, and I can let them all spend part for a luxury hotel, or I can, somewhere there need to be a check or balance in place that the cost will not escalate for the people that take on the work that you need to do. Can you just provide a bit more clarity on that, please?
We want to put on record that what we're going to do is to allow that question on the funding. But we want to ask the members that for the next sitting that we have, we do a lot more vis-a-vis the financial implications of the bill and the establishment, so that we give ourselves enough time to engage with you on that. We anticipated that you are coming with the legal and the technical aspects of the bill, and we thought that it would be unfair to raise some of the financial things with you now. Maybe you said that when you come here, bring one of the financial people along so that we can engage in a much more rigorous manner on that aspect of the proposal process. But you are please requested to at least deal with the question before us.
May I ask for Tony Amo to respond on the issue of the sense? I thought he responded, but you can give the contextual element sense and maybe the problem. Sense is only developed a self when there are more than two or three of us. Because the Senate cannot be developed for a new product. They indicated that they only developed first standard one or two or three similar products in mind. So What Agama does is it doesn't give us any criteria for the assessment of the product for fruitful profit. So if you say a root town, then this is a root town and it will extend temperature of up to 25 degrees all the way to 19, and it will be under hail, sunshine, rain, every condition, they will take it and pick under those conditions. Right? 50 degrees to minus 10. The moment you take it to minus 11, is what? Limited to what you say in the product. Now, once you have that product shipped to the process, it becomes agreement certified. You may have another product that develops likewise, speaks about the same thing, 50 to minus 50 degrees to minus 10, and then you may have a surplus. So it becomes a second and a surplus, it moves over to SAS to become a standard.
Okay.
So we are moving ahead to that issue. So we've tested the leak. That was one of our biggest concerns because we would not have got back in from Treasury had there been any form of mandate. That's one of the things we need to because it would not quite do any difference from the auction. So we've tested it because we really started in that area of mandate. the issue on funding. Both are going to little detail in terms of they have documentation in terms of how they cost for the certification of the product. And I judge that point. I have an issue with it. So it addressed by administrative perspective. We knew that for what is there for me. And share for the area with the financing. But today I just put a one statement out there. This is a business case which was around 2009, 2011. At that point in time, we did not envisage a sudden spike in the funding requirements of the over a period of time, every market being able to capacitate itself from a technical perspective. There would be a time when it requires additional equipment, for example, for laboratories, etc. But we do not envisage a certain spike in its operational requirements in the near future. That's more detail in terms of the funding of how the price for assessment. As well as the issue of two drawing because of funding, and you can do it in terms of the next.
Thanks, Honorable Father, for the question that you did ask regarding the standard we've driven an adapted price. But I just want to give a couple of examples of products which have come to the public domain. And I now use the standard as well as some people think there was standard stand before. One of them, you can remember when we were younger, most of the parts that were used were either mild steel, or copper. But now the plastic part is used as predominant and standard as a developer. They came through Agama route and they developed standards for them. A typical, another typical example is remember the old cast iron bar test. The new innovative bar test came through Agama route and now used as standardized for it. And the level example I can give the root arm. The alternative wood styles that have come in. Most of them, the pressed iron cheap tiles, styles, not cheap. The Mali tiles, they came through the Harvey tile and came through the Agama route, and then I used the standard eye for it. And currently we're seeing a lot more new products coming to the market. I've mentioned the road products, but a lot of products in the road industry that bring marvelous things. So we'll see a lot more of them coming through and then becoming standardized products. Now, on the question of funds, on Voluntary, Agama, as was mentioned by the presenter, Devon Abele, we developed criteria, Agama criteria for test method. So the criteria is developed for a particular product to test it in accordance for the same purpose testing. Therefore, the criteria says this was tested in a particular machine to a certain certification to see whether it meets the legal purpose test. Therefore, that particular test method is what we will charge for. So there's no one size fits all. If you're testing, say, a product, and then you have to do the lab test and you have to do the field test, which will last a long period of time and involve audit visits, but very expensive consultants. Individuals who actually do the specialists who actually have the knowledge to do the assessment. Therefore, the costing is on a individual basis. It's per product,
class method, and as mentioned, the cost recovery. We're not a profit-making organization. We use accredited laboratories, as Bevan did mention. The CSR used to have very good laboratory equipment. Now, due to business reasons, those labs were let to go, that they were closed down, and now we use any accredited lab within the country or outside the country where we can do the test in accordance to the test criteria developed for that particular product. So the costing is on a cost recovery basis for a particular product meet the fit for purpose test. Have I answered the question? Is there any part that has been answered?
Shape, so this is a bit of a follow-up, but it just like crossed my mind. You know, a lot of these products, and I assume, and I don't want to assume because it can be sometimes dangerous to assume things, but most products, new products that come in is usually from other countries. And as soon as it comes from other countries, let's say Poland or whichever country, they've got certain standards on these products. Now, do you now use those standards, or do you check on the same type of basis if it achieves those standards, if you can get just enough clarity on that? Because sometimes I know there are some type of international standards that are set, and then it's a brand new product. If you can just enlighten on that, I would also like to know, thanks.
Not
check.
I understand the explanation and I agree with it. But we are not in the business of making profit, like I say. We are here in deliverance of public goods. And how do we then make sure that in what we are doing, trying to do, those who are, I mean, the chair was speaking earlier on about imagining the very people who are trying to innovative, trying to go into that space, so that we become inclusive. And that's an emphasis on my part of that. Yes, you are going to be costing in terms of what the requirement of the test are going to require from your part. But we must look into means and ways to move forward of how do we become inclusive. So that you don't just close off people who are not literally having the necessary capital to do that. Thank you, sir.
Let me just make the one of the final comments from my side, and I'm saying one of the final, which is that in the mandate on page 3, we need to remind ourselves that you're saying the mandate of AGRIMA is to support and promote the process of an integrated socio-economic development in South Africa. But with that, you are also then isolating two drain of such socio-economic activity. The one is that you are talking about the construction industry, right? And the other one is that you are talking about innovation and technology development. Now, we've spoken a lot about the construction industry, but not enough about innovation and technology development. Now let me link that point with the point made by Honorable Faber about the imports. Last week we were in the municipality of Merafa. There are huge water wastages in that municipality, as is happening with many other municipalities. We know of municipalities who are in the Western Cape, municipalities in KwaZulu-Natal that are struggling with water shortages. So we need to find a way in which we save water. Now this municipality then told us about this new meter, but with other than our colleague there, the engineer warned me not to call it plastic, but to call it PVC. You have these PVC pipes that I use, both to bring water but also to carry sewer. Interesting. But I then looked at this pipe, and on the pipe was written, made in Italy. In a poor municipality like Morokong on the West Rand. And I'm saying, what happens to our position when we're talking about localization? Why must we import a PVC pipe from Italy when we have shortages of jobs in South Africa. Can't we manufacture those pipes here? We've had a similar problem, maybe not a problem, a similar challenge when we went to Kucha the other day and look at the windmills and the blades and the towers that they're using there as well. So the point that Honorable Father is raising is then saying, then we, when we look at this innovation that's happened, but are we then going to have that only in the construction industry, or would it cover a broader section of the innovation technology? I just want to conclude and say about the CSIR. We attended a meeting, Honorable George Mutimunia and myself, where the CSIR had this huge piece of steel. And I couldn't understand why this is to be so important. And they were telling me, no, they have this new machine that cuts threads. And that's innovation that we've developed in South Africa. So if we go back to the water pipe thing, they were saying that what happens with this water pipe, because it's mining area, and there is this movement of the ground all the time. And with the plastic water pipe, or with the PVC water pipe, they have a guarantee now that this is going to be litigious. It can stand the movement and using a labor system on the ground. I just want to then also say that Ms. Ngema, who is the parliamentary legal advisor, has just gone out. You see, we've been waiting, she's been sitting there. Just as I'm about to say that she's here, we'll say it again when she's here, but you have mentioned the parliamentary legal advisor and the conversations that you had with them. So we are also appreciative that they are here so that they can listen to this conversation and ensure that all the concerns that we are raising here are captured before we reach a final stage of the drafting of the law.
Mr. Yama will do the technical element from the import and coming to the country versus the assessment that we do. Let me just give you the broad idea of the thinking of the bill when you conceptualize it. Several is true that some products are imported into the country, but there are a number of products that are also manufactured locally as well. So innovation is local. Now, the thinking that in terms of this particular bill, we actually thought that over a period of time, with the various linkages that we envisaged between AgriMark, CSIR, the Technical Innovation Agency, Department of Science and Technology, that we will now begin to move towards the industrialization of construction. Currently, you find that on a particular construction site, people in the trenches, in the foundation, in the concrete, in the bricks, in the windows, in the bushing. With the new innovations that are out there in the market, it is already a complete building can be constructed. Transported to the site. Now, one of the thinking on this was that what you have that is looking at an industry. We're able to find a set of workers hanging out, construction workers hanging out in the corner of feet looking for work on a daily basis. We begin to develop a more formalized employment in the construction. So we have people that are employed in the factory that will be manufacturing for us. Then on site, we have people that are really assembled and finished. So you move really, in terms of the long term thinking, this will hopefully lead to an industry. As the majority of construction workers don't have formal employment, particularly the city. And the thinking is as we move towards the city, we need to move in that direction. George, you number the examples of the innovation construction technology was introduced, but one of them was at the Department of Public Works, we implemented to the IBT, one of the construction jobs, school, in the building.
deeply in India. As a part of the idea, they were able to put things in the big short unit. So for way of example, in Pretoria, in Olivenbosch, I'm not mistaken, a complete school was put up by one of the innovators and companies within a period of 6 months. 3 months the school was closed. The other 3 months was for everything else to be done. The school was functioning within 3 months. And that included a complete comprehensive school with your laboratory, your library, full up, done, from foundation to roof. Now, this is when you think about social economic development. When I spoke about social development, even in the first place, you can very quickly put up social infrastructure in schools, clinics, many state courts, etc. But you must understand that it's new technology. So, our people can learn through. Now, to respond to the issue of the fees and the cost linked to it, I think that is the reason we're very clear putting the bill of A-to-B waivers for testing of products based on some criteria. Those criteria would need to be defined by IGMA. But the idea is to waiver the fee for products that are not ethical, there is insufficient capital. But linked to that, we are thinking about the linkages that we have in place. Because one of the role of TIA is to provide funding for innovation across the economy. And there will be a special linkage between EGMA, CSIR, both environmental, and TIA. It will be sort of more important to develop internally from the TIA organization that comes together to help the community. And TIA can fund the entire program. So we've given that thought, significant thought. I mean, TIA can't, President spoke about EGMA can do that. Now, the issue that we must also bear in mind is that once that product is certified by EGMA, it becomes a product that goes into the market. And the product is not a commodity. So, there will be the private sector getting involved in something. They will be making money. Here is the issue of and cost recovery. So we thought about these elements of around here about funding, how we can do that, how best we can get it. And it's therefore it's also linked to the social economic development. Because if we're able to create exactly enough, big number of jobs, and this is impact the particular area, this is what we take into account. I think I may have addressed your question, I hope I have. And the issue of the funding. I think one thing that we've been after, and Joe will probably be able to invest products like e-commerce in relation to the issue in one is the talent in a particular country, but also the international talent. And it relates to the to about the country.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Kappa, for the question. The question is, most products from other countries like Poland, do we use their standards? The response is, we do make use of the tariff as far as it's applicable, but the methodology we do follow is that we have to have our own test criteria, which is locally developed by local conditions. Remember, European countries have significantly lower temperatures than we do have, and we do have a wide daily range. So therefore, and also we do have a very high UV exposure in Southern Africa, compared to the Northern Hemisphere. Now, and most products, and you're quite right, they do mostly to see a north-south movement of products, but there is also a south-north movement of products. The product that Devin did mention, the plastic tank, actually a thousand of it, that is developed right here in Cape Town. It uses a polymer together with sand. The polymer like the plastic DC. And they actually make a thousand, which is beautiful. It's smooth, very smooth. And then it's put pigment, so it comes in all kinds of colors. The test is for UV exposure, and it is part of the test. So colors is, it can be very exciting colors. So there is a south-north movement of products. So the way we develop criteria to answer the question of my Honorable Sabo is that we get an industry-wide interest group of specialists and anybody interested. The reason we do this is to make sure the criteria one developed comes an industry standard, so that there's industry buy-in. So we get suppliers, manufacturers, contractors, government bodies, local governments, people from, intergroups, anybody who has interest, anybody, we get them all in. And we talked for that meeting, and we give a note that we want to develop a standard, say for example the plastic brick that Devin mentioned. We want to develop a standard for plastic brick. Because anybody who has an interest, anybody who manufactures bricks or tube tiles, we get them in, and we follow similar to the methods of developing a standard, whereby this interest group can select a working task group, because the whole committee is difficult to develop the standard. So working group goes and develops the standard or the criteria, and then comes back to the big group for it to be workshopped and tested. And then once it's gone through that process, then it's approved. Then it's submitted to our technical committee of the board for approval or ratification of the test criteria. And then the Minister of Food goes forward for final ratification. So yes, we do make use of those European standards or whatever standard we're coming from, and as far as it is applicable to our standards. I'll give you a simple example. There were those products which were developed and worked very well in Europe. And certain countries in Africa, I'll not mention their names, not Malawi, but they take use of them. And entire stretch of roads, this is a World Bank funded project, have failed. And now they have to go back and do rehabilitation. And that is the strength of Agma. The question you need to ask is, what would happen if there was no Agma? There would be much more being lost. So we do play a very important role to ensure the products that do come into the country are fit for purpose. So I think I answered that question. Thank you.
Thank you very, very, very much. I think with that we would bring the meeting to a conclusion before our time. But I've been sitting here saying to myself, so what are we going to do next week? Is there another element of AGRIMA that you're going to bring to us next week? Or have we covered your presentation?
The only thing that we possibly could do is provide more detail on the data. And I need to bring the information on the
data. So you need to help us now in terms of indicating would it be worth your expenditure to come down from Pretoria again next week? Just allow me. Okay. We appreciate that. The secretary has just advised me what I consider to be part of our political protocol that we need to follow. You see, I looked at it and said that this is a Section 75 piece of legislation, and it has already been submitted to issue indicating your report to Parliament and to the NA. Now we would say Parliament is only when the NCOP and the NA have met together, but then in terms of the Constitution, we don't need to vote on that as the NCOP. But we appreciate the fact that we have the opportunity to still go through the clause by clause, which is what we will do next week. To go through the clause by clause, because if we have colleagues with the necessary expertise here, both from Parliament, Madame Gamma, I welcomed you earlier, but you were not here. You just ran out to the place where
you don't have choices. We appreciate particularly that you are here because we are going to depend very much on you helping us should we need any explanation on any of the legal jargon that we pick up in the talk. But we will liaise with our parliamentary liaison officer further on some of the logistical details, is how exactly the process will unfold here, so that he can continue to follow up with you as competently as what he has done to bring you here today. We want to say thank you very much. I know that you are itching to say something. If you are, I wouldn't want you to be here itching. You are okay? Are you okay? I think it's going to be important. We just need to decide what is exactly we expect the value add of those officials to bring to us. Wouldn't it be helpful to have someone from the State Department or from the we need someone that can help us with certain of the aspects that we must then, in the same breath, express our appreciation for the competent manner in which you have achieved presented this to us. We have much more to engage with you. And I think it was a morning well spent. And we appreciate you very much. Can we then say to you that you don't have to leave? We normally have just two things that we need to do. The one is we need to adopt the minutes of our last meeting. Okay. Grace is proposing that we leave the minutes until next week. Yeah. Okay. Let's leave them this until next week. The other thing that we have to do is to look at announcements. The announcements are that we will meet next week to finalize this, looking at the body itself. And the second part of the announcement is just that tomorrow we will be meeting with the Department of Tourism to look at the PIC. So we would appreciate your presence. Thank you very much.